I'm Sarah Jessica Parker, and I'm sitting in for Leonard Lope today. In his debut novel, A Constellation of Vital Phenomena, Anthony Mara portrays a cast of characters, fathers, mothers, neighbors, and children struggling to find peace in a small Chechen village that is caught up in the bloody turmoil of war. A Constellation of Vital Phenomena is a story about the transcendent power of love in wartime, and it has received tremendous and deserving praise. I'm so glad to welcome its author, Anthony Mara, to the Leonard Lope Show today. Hello.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. You know, I read this book before it came out and loved it. I think it's such a massive accomplishment. Your book is set during the Chechen Wars. So can you tell us about what sparked that conflict and a little bit about the history of that region?
Yeah, the Chechen conflict goes back several centuries to when the Russian Empire expanded to include the Northern Caucasus in its territorial holdings. And ever since then, this question of who has legitimate sovereignty over this region has been at the heart of this conflict. And the novel itself is set in 2004, sort of at the end of a decade of warfare and concerns. Really, it's set against the backdrop of war, but it's not really a war novel. It's a novel about surgeons rather than soldiers, about the vast midsection of the population who don't really have a horse in the race one way or another, and who are simply trying to survive and to find a way to live with some degree of humanity in these difficult times.
And so what makes a young author want to set a book in Chechnya?
The initial kernel, I guess, came from an experience I had in college. I studied in St. Petersburg, Russia, and I lived maybe a half mile from a metro station where Russian veterans of the Chechen Wars would gather every day, and they were a few years older than me, and they were in sort of a desperate condition, soliciting alms from passing commuters. And it just got me started thinking about Chechnya, how it was a place that was vaguely synonymous with far-flung terror and poverty, and that was sort of all I really knew about it. But as soon as I began reading about its remarkable history and culture, I became fascinated. And it's only about the size of Connecticut. It's a very small area geographically, but it's punched far above its weight in terms of how it's affected Russia over the centuries. And these stories about these civilians in the recent conflict really resounded with me. And I think that a novel, that fiction, can convey an experience as really nothing else can. It can be a tunnel that drops us straight through the center of the earth, and we emerge on the other side, besides people we'd never otherwise have the chance to know. And so at one point, I was reading all of these history and journalistic accounts and tried to track down a novel that was available in English and set there over the course of the past several decades, and I wasn't able to find one. And so I came to write the book partly as a reader, as much as a writer, that it was the book that I wanted to read, only it wasn't there yet.
And so you're writing a book about a place that has called out to you in some way, and yet you'd not been there. The entire book was written over the course of how long?
A couple of years.
And never stepped foot in Chechnya. Why did you make that choice?
Well, I did visit Chechnya at the very end of the writing process, at sort of the last in the final edits. Before that, it was really that I was a grad student while I was writing the book, and a plane ticket to Grozny was probably about as much as I'd made in 2 or 3 months, and I just couldn't swing it. And so it wasn't until after the book was acquired that I ended up being able to go.
And when you finally went, did you feel pleased with how you had illustrated the time and place, or did you think, oh, I'm glad I'm here now because now I can correct a couple of things that might be inaccurate or might not reflect who these people are?
Yeah, there were certainly a number of changes I made In terms of little details. For instance, in a previous draft, I had a scene set on an escalator, and when I visited Grozny, I realized that the first escalator was built 3 years after this scene in the book. But the Chechnya of I went in 2012, and it's a completely different place from the world depicted in the book and the world of these wars. Much of it has been rebuilt. Despite a uncomfortable political situation there, there's a sense of stability and of people returning from exile and trying to rebuild this place that I felt from many of the locals that I met. And really, I've never been more warmly welcomed anywhere in my life, that people were really proud to show a foreigner like me their country.
And has the book been published in the regional language?
It hasn't. It's been picked up in a number of foreign countries, but not Russia yet.
It must be. I would think you would like to have the story be read there by the people in Grozny, the people in Chechnya in general, would you not?
Absolutely, yeah. I now and then I'll get an email from someone from the region who's read the book.
And what are the odds that might happen?
If they're an English speaker,
that's the best.
That's
the closest they're going to get for the time being.
For the time being, yeah.
History plays a hugely significant role in the novel, an important role. One of your characters, Hassan, is even writing a 3,000-page manuscript on the very complex history of Chechnya. I think you tell this part of the story in heartbreaking detail, his struggles to get this manuscript published and what he goes through. How do you think your characters relate to their history? And it seems to me that it's in some ways the emphasis of their entire worldview.
Absolutely. One of the struggles with writing a novel set in a place that that is quite unfamiliar to most American readers is how do you convey the proper historical context, enough information to give relevance to the drama unfolding on the page in a way that that seems natural and not forced. You know, nothing kills the magic of fiction faster than realizing you're getting a history lesson. And so Kassan was one of these characters who I tried to funnel a lot of this contextual information through. I think that Chechnya has had, you know, a very difficult 20th century, and there's very little closure. I think when you're dealing with historical traumas of that magnitude, and these characters are all trying to piece their lives back together and are trying to sort of reassemble what's been scattered, and even though they're not always able to do that, they're not always able to rescue or to recreate what's been lost. The act of trying to create, of trying to persevere, to move on, allows them to come into these situations and have these opportunities they might otherwise never have. And so many of the characters are caught up in these families, in these relationships that in peacetime they never would have been able to have. One of the characters, Sonia, is the head of this entire hospital, and in peacetime, somebody like her would never have been able to reach these professional heights. And so I was fascinated with the idea of how conflict, how turmoil, upends society in certain ways and may bring people into contact with one another who otherwise would never have the opportunity to meet.
I'm Sarah Jessica Parker. I'm sitting in today for Leonard Lopate. I'm having a conversation with Anthony Mara, the writer of a beautiful novel called A Constellation of Vital Phenomena. Just a little bit about the plot for those who haven't been fortunate enough yet to read it. one of the amazing, one of the many amazing feats of the book is the humor that you've been able to bring to these people's lives, very bleak circumstances. And you know, I think about Sonia. You've just mentioned Hava, Ahmed. You have been so clever about giving them their own individual senses of humor. Was that important to the plot when you write about a place that is unknown to so many of us, subjects that are suffering, so circumstances that are very foreign and unfamiliar? Was the humor important? Did you recognize that right away?
Yeah. Actually, the first several Jeffs were a bit gloomy, but at some point I realized that that humor was essential to the novel. That you know, the great Russian short story writer Anton Chekhov once said that if you're writing about something hot, write it cold. Mm. And I think that there's a real power we get from writing certain scenes or subjects from a vantage point that we may be unaccustomed to dealing with them. And the idea of writing about something as you know, brutal as these wars through a comedic angle at certain points in the novel appealed to me, because I think that it matches my understanding of reality, that even in
the reality of life in Chechnya.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That when I traveled there, so many people I met had these razor sharp, very dark senses of humor, and it was clear that that it had become a defense mechanism to some extent. That a joke can be a very serious thing. That that we laugh at something to make it bearable.
Even the descriptions, the unbelievably accurate descriptions of amputation, you know, told through, you know, that scene that when Ahmed finally arrives at the hospital with Hava, correct?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he's immediately put to work. He's a doctor. I put that in quotes. And Sonia, who's running this hospital, this vacant, deserted hospital, says, "You're a doctor. All right. Here's what, you know." It's brutal scene, but hilarious. Hilarious, his inner monologue. I think it's such an important thing for your reader, because it allows them to take a little bit of a breath. You know, the onslaught of sadness that's real. Did it make you nervous at all? About, were you worried that this was a book? This was your debut novel, and it takes place in Chechnya. You know, people's names that not everybody can pronounce. On the surface, you know, this isn't like a blockbuster. Like, what gives you the courage? Is it just you believed in the story? There was some great conviction behind.
Well,
it's such,
you know,
a courageous
initially
undertaking.
Initially, I was going to fill it with vampires and werewolves, but decided to take those out. You know, it's. I think that that. When you're writing your first book, you're writing from a point of obscurity, and sometimes that can feel, you know, difficult or frustrating. That you know, you're so far outside the publishing world. But I think it's a really powerful point to write from, because you don't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
And so it never really struck me as being that wildly out of you know, sort of the normal. Range of subject matters that first novelists write about to tackle something like this, and I've sort of since learned that writing a nonlinear novel set in Chechnya is perhaps an unusual first step for an author. But
how would you describe this book? How would you, for someone who has not read it and you want them to read it? This is something I struggled with when I got this book in my hands. I was trying to explain it to people, and it has a nonlinear narrative, as you've described, and we can talk about that. What's the best way to describe this beautiful work of art?
I suppose I'd describe it as a novel that is about people whose lives have come apart and by by trying to put them together, they sort of weave their histories into a communal whole.
Beautifully well put. I'll try to remember that. This book is, you know, seriously researched, and a lot of fiction writers really like research. That's, you know, part of the whole experience for them. Would that describe you, or do you feel, okay, I got that out of my system, now I'm going to kind of work based on an idea that I love or something in front of me? Or
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's a tricky balance that you can sort of go at, if you're sitting at your desk and you're writing, you can get into these Wikipedia sort of wormholes where,
right,
you know, you wait 5 hours later, you started with Russia and you end up with Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm.
But no, there were a number of books I consulted. There were a handful, though, that I really, the works of Anna Politkovskaya, Chechen memoirist called Kasan Bayev, that I read again and again, and they sort of formed this mental blueprint of Chechnya for me, which I then populated with these characters. And I tried to you know, make it as accurate and realistic as I possibly could. I think in the end, however, what makes a novel feel real to us is the connection we have with its characters. It's as important as it is to have the right tree in the right place. It's ultimately the characters, their psychological reactions to their environment, to the conflicts they face, the emotional truth to their condition that makes a book feel real to us.
And it does feel real. We didn't even get to talk about the role that art plays in this book, but that gives all the listeners an opportunity to discover that for themselves. I've been speaking with Anthony Mura about his novel, A Constellation of Vital Phenomenon. It's published by Hogarth. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure.